Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you to The Joan Kenley Show, bringing you Conversation Radio, a program where talking really matters. Today we're focusing on your home, the art of buying, designing, and selling. To so many of us, owning a home includes many dimensions, mental, emotional, physical, and financial. And it's been said that home is where the heart is. So taking that one step further, could we ask why not put your heart in your home? Because we'll be talking about the popular idea of using design psychology and feng shui in your day-to-day living and working spaces. Why the greening of your home is a hot topic today. How to make your home an even smarter investment. Why sellers who stage their homes have an advantage in the marketplace. And so very, very much more. We're lucky to be joined in the studio by two expert fine home specialists with 25 years in the field of design and real estate, Sheila Sabine and Judith Glass. Sheila has an in-depth experience in property management, renovation, design, building, and residential sales. She's published numerous articles in the San Francisco Chronicle, Northern California Homes and Gardens, and San Francisco Magazine. Judith has an impressive history in design and sales. Her MBA is in marketing, and she's a member of the Berkeley Architectural Heritage Association. It's been said, a good home can only be created by those who love it and care for it. And in that light, I'd like to bring up the art of feng shui, spelled F-E-N-G, new word, S-H-U-I. And we'll have more about that on our website. It's an art which originated 3,000 years ago in China. And Jamie Barrett, feng shui specialist and best-selling author, says that the use of these principles can give you more energy, harmonize your life, and bring you new sensibilities. Well, we'll be talking about a few of these design ideas right here. And we can call all of this design psychology as well. So just what does belong in your living space? Because decorating is definitely not one size fits all. Each person has unique qualities, and emphasizing those qualities can create a positive, meaningful environment for you. Take a look at what you have around your home, from posters to knickknacks to family photos. Well, each object anchors you to a memory. And if it's not supporting you, it shouldn't be in your home. It's a good idea to ask yourself, do I need it? Do I use it? Do I love it? And does it make me happy? And do you notice that in your consulting, Sheila, for people who want to live in a great space when they're not selling their home, for instance, that they maybe do want this better kind of environment? And what are the suggestions you bring into that picture?
Well, Joan, I think that you've brought up some excellent points. First of all, the feng shui philosophy I totally believe in. I have my own consultant that comes both to my house and has come to our office several times. Mm-hmm. It's a very honored tradition.
It certainly is.
So that you can't just become an expert.
Not
you
at
can
all.
Certainly read the books. I think that the principles are so extremely important that I would really encourage our listeners here to go out and buy at least one feng shui book. A mm-hmm. Simple technique is just think about curb appeal, mm-hmm. which the feng shui people refer to as the qi energy being attracted to your house. So how your house looks from the outside in the very initial appearance for a person attracts good energy, which, you know, then comes into your house. That's very obvious. Also, one time we had a listing where the command power spot of the house was actually the toilet.
Uh-oh.
And this particular seller, eventually the house went into foreclosure. He lost all of his money, and so there was certainly a correlation. At my house, which you have to walk up kind of a hill, a lot of stairs to get to the front door, I have the front door painted red. Okay. So that the qi energy can actually find itself from the street. I have wind chimes so that music can be heard. And I have bamboo planted along the way, all kinds of kind of inspiring things to invite the energy to come up to the front door.
Oh, that's a beautiful setting, I can imagine. So when you're looking, Judith, at this whole idea of not one size fits all. It goes back to what people have as their own style and their own preferences. I mean, a person with modern furniture, for instance, is not going to want to bring in an antique tapestry, probably, unless they're feeling very eclectic. But it still is about arranging something to fit the human individual person, the not one size fits all idea.
Exactly. I think the eclectic approach is great, especially in, of course, in our world, we're talking about staging homes, once preparing them to get on the market. And we use a lot of eclectic touches here and there. And I certainly, in my own home, I live in an, well, for California, it's an old house, 1908. I lived in Europe once. And when I would say I lived in an older home, people would laugh when I said it was built in 1908. But in any case, I have a lot of contemporary pieces in my house, as well as some antiques. And I like, personally, to mix and match.
So why don't we segue into clearing up clutter as we move away from style? Because clutter can make you feel exhausted, anxious, overwhelmed, and it can influence your clarity of thought, your ability to be organized, and it can create physical static in your body. And even if you try to ignore clutter, it still affects you at many levels. So how do you address clutter for the people who are staying in their homes or for the people that need to sell their homes?
Well, I think I like to use the three principles: see, simplify, select.
I like that.
And that even just saying those three words are very clear and very precise, which is what clutter is about,
Yes. Changing
into some sort of clarity within the space. I think you have to be kind of merciless and just say, I mean, my rule is if I haven't used it in the last 6 months, then it's out. That's the rule.
What do you mean by use? Because a picture you don't necessarily use, you look at. So you're talking about things in an office or in a clothes closet, or how are you addressing
specifically
that?
Office clothes closet. But even if you look in your kitchen or your living room, there are items that just sit there. You put something on a coffee table and it might stay there for 10 years.
Oh, that's
and you never
so good,
move
it. I see what you're saying.
And you could either put it in, you could store it, or you could put it in another location. But it's
or
just,
change it seasonally.
Yeah, even. It's just the idea of moving something, because just in the process of moving something, you're creating new energy.
That's a good point.
It's just
point.
Like a dance. It's just as if you were dancing.
Yeah.
Well, to be more practical, we have a brand new listing open yesterday for the first time. The owner is a single dad with three very young children. He has clutter.
Oh, boy.
He can't help it. He also works at home. He's a professional photographer. But it's been a wonderful process to watch that darling family get their house ready for the market. And they're all happy. Jonathan said yesterday, my desk hasn't been this clean since I moved into the house. And he had a lightness of spirit about him. Also, there's a fabulous service called door-to-door storage that will come and temporarily store things while a house is on the market. But the truth is, once something's in a door-to-door storage, it should probably go right on to the dump, because probably it's something you don't need anyway.
Well, what I was thinking is people should pretend they're going to move
every
few years and then
decide. That's my philosophy.
Decide if something's really needed, as you say.
Or it could go with the change of seasons.
And also, we know that what's around us affects our feelings. For instance, you can feel that a color gives you a certain feeling, or that a texture or a fabric or how the furniture is arranged, not just in your home, but in your office too. And it can make you feel balanced or not balanced. It can invoke a beautiful life experience or inner peacefulness. Or if it's not working, it can take over lots of aspects of your life. So when you were just talking earlier in the break, you mentioned that you did something about what you would wear if you were going to be selling a house, and in terms of, what was it now?
Well, when Sheila and I first started working together, we were going to present an offer on behalf of some buyers of ours. And I knew that we were going to be sitting in the dining room of the home of the seller. And so I had noticed the color on the walls. I'm very sensitive to color. And so we cooked up this scheme, which was that I said, let's dress accordingly. Let's dress to be complimentary. Let's wear clothing that will complement the color on the wall, which we did. And guess what? We sold that house.
There you go. But you see many, many real estate people who are very smart, and I don't take anything away from them, would not maybe have some of your sensibilities about what you're bringing to the table here. And I suppose that's why you two have been so extraordinarily successful, is that you are looking at the details, and it's not the devil that's in the details. It's the beauty is in the details, is the way I like to talk about it. And so I want to get to the fact that bringing nature indoors is a good design psychology idea. I mean, here in California, more than other places, I believe we have lots of windows in our homes, which does bring nature inside. But some of the ideas that you can also do is what we have here is full spectrum lighting, which helps us feel more like sunshine is inside, and to have plants in your home that are growing and help the aliveness of your home. And we can talk about a little inexpensive waterfall that fits on your desk can actually help you feel that you have a brook nearby or some water to meditate by or some sound that helps you feel like you're in nature when you're just at your desk. So do these things help you when you're looking at what you do in your profession?
Absolutely. I think rather you're selling your home or staying in your home, the idea of bringing nature in is so extremely important. And I had a great example in my own house last week. I think it's always good to have a friend or a consultant to come in and help.
Because which I've done many times.
I just felt like my living room was very tired. And my friend came in and said, well, you need new cushions. So there's an example of clearing clutter, and you can buy very inexpensive cushions at Ross, for example, that are
sure.
beautiful. Then looking at my indoor plants, he said, well, that plant looks very tired. So we went out and we found a gorgeous, huge plant for $50. And
beautiful.
He said, just look at it as if you had bought three different bouquets of flowers.
Mm.
So in other words, if it only lasts for a month or two, then you can just replace it with another big plant. And it has just totally changed the energy of my living room. So,
well, of course it would. And the idea is that we need fresh eyes to look at our life. Mm. Someone said, do you change your furniture around a lot? And I said, well, actually, I spent so much time figuring out how to configure it that I do leave the furniture in place, but I do change all of the other things around the furniture and the pillowcases or whatever, the plants and all the things you're talking about. So we now have lots of ideas for our audience, and there has been research, you know, on how beauty affects the brain. So we don't want to let that out of the picture. And your brain sends messages to the rest of your organs, cells, nerves, and immune system. So design can be thought of as an art. Design can be aesthetics. Design is simple. That's why it's so complicated. So, well, how does the idea of green living spaces affect buying, selling, building, and remodeling? Don't go away. We'll tell you all about it, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, and you're back with The Joan Kenley Show, where we're talking today about your home, the art of buying, designing, and selling. And we're here with Judith Glass and Sheila Sabine, two senior brokers for the Grubb Company in the East Bay. The construction and maintenance of homes and buildings are responsible for 40% of the energy use in the U.S. So this is certainly a compelling reason for us to talk about green building design and remodeling. In 1987, the United Nations World Commission on Environment and Development stated that sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of further generations to meet their own needs. And historically, the American Indians in our country looked at how to take care of seven generations ahead as they lived their lives and made their choices. And that consciousness still needs to be in our minds today as we look at the need for the greening of our homes and our yards. As we explore what it means to design and build green, I want to share that at its core, a green structure is one where the qualities of both the indoor and the outdoor environments have been considered and protected during the design and construction, as well as in the maintenance and in the use. And most importantly, with all the choices available today, you don't have to sacrifice taste or style to be eco-friendly. And I know that our guest, Judith Glass, and Sheila Sabine are keenly aware of what's happening in the green movement, and I was wondering how that plays out with your clients.
Well, I think just a basic principle, not only for people selling homes, but for people living in homes, is the concept of how do you actually clean your house? Mm-hmm. What kind of products do you use? We have a wonderful client who has her own green cleaning business with all environmentally friendly products, and she trains all of her clients, you know, how to wash your dishes, how to wash your clothes, how to clean your windows, how to clean your floors. And it's phenomenal, and
I'm
it makes
sure.
a huge difference.
Yeah, no, that is really important. And are people looking for homes, Judith, that are addressing green energy, for instance, in terms of the furnace that's there, the air conditioner, how the water is heated, those kinds of things?
It's starting. I would say the trend is starting. For one thing, of course, here we are in the Bay Area, which is, you know, diverse as it can be. And some of the homes that are so-called green-friendly, newly built homes are a little out there for a lot of people. I mean, old car doors, parts of
right.
pieces of, you know, industrial equipment.
Sure.
I emotionally and psychologically, I approve of it, but I know as a buyer, I wouldn't buy a house
unless
quite
they,
yet.
They move toward a design that's aesthetically pleasing to
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. And I, you know, who knows? In 10 years, it'll be really interesting to see if this has really caught on. I think it's just in the cusp, or it's in the beginning stages for sure.
But I think people are very sensitive to high energy, you know, furnaces, electricity,
absolutely.
All of that. We just sold a small bungalow recently, and our biggest selling point is that there was a brand new furnace that was mm-hmm. extremely energy efficient.
And now that we have water heaters that are waterless, where
yes.
they can go through,
tankless.
You know, this heating mm-hmm. system, almost like an instant hot, and that's a big savings. And, for instance, we just had to buy a new washer and dryer, and the energy efficiency of both from 20 years ago was a huge, quantum
yes.
leap ahead. I love gadgets, so I'm so thrilled to have a new washer and dryer. But we also put in a new air conditioner and a new furnace, and what's so appealing now is that you can get rebates from the electrical companies and water companies for using these more energy-saving appliances.
We recently had an article published that was written about actually my own contractor, my general contractor that I've used in my own home. And he just remodeled his own home, and it was completely done in a green way. It was a home that already existed, but he, for example, put in complete solar energy, reducing his gas and electric bill to something like 83 cents a month, or the minimum of whatever you have to pay, maybe more like $3.
So basically he's doing what you call going off the grid.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to...
Completely off the grid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really a great goal, isn't it?
But and interestingly enough, when we published an article about him, he got a lot of phone calls.
I'll bet.
So that was good for him.
And so did Robin Burns, our house cleaning person.
Sure.
She has a lot of new clients as a result of the article that was published about
her.
And
we can put a lot of your resources on our website mm-hmm. so that our listeners can find out where to reach the people, not only that you're talking about on the show today, but other people that you might recommend.
Sure.
Because we have to say that maybe in California we're talking about it more because of where
because
we live
California.
And how we live, and it's California. But, for instance, when I was at a gathering for Al Gore and had a chance to meet him and talk with him a little bit about the fact that he has brought the poetry and the passion mm-hmm. into this subject of greening the planet, but we need to get down in our conversations, as we're having today, to the specifics of having a more carbon-free way of dealing with materials and houses and products and so forth.
And also in California, and again for our listeners, this may not be the case in other parts of the country, but we have regulations in our real estate contracts that a seller has to disclose any mold issues.
That's important.
And also any lead-based paint issues. It's a standard form that mm-hmm. all sellers have to fill out.
Well, I know that several people that I've run into in my career have had long-lasting illnesses from mold.
Yes.
That were not diagnosed or discovered.
Yes.
It's a silent killer and very, very hard to treat.
This is true. Yeah.
And if you go into a hair salon where you smell mold, you know, at the wash basin or something, you don't want to go there.
Exactly.
I mean, you really need to be very careful about what you're sensitive to. And if you find that, let's say, a person who has allergies is sensitive to something in your house, it may be that you should look at that, whereas it might not be something you're allergic to, but the sensitivity is from person to person to person, and you want, hopefully, to have your home be friendly for everybody that comes. We do ask that people come to our home and studio as fragrance-free as possible, for instance, because we know that that's just a green thing to do. And I also have allergies, so, you know, I'm protecting myself as well.
I think the environmental allergy subject is becoming more and more common these days, and we're seeing it more and more with clients.
Well, in the paint that people use on their walls, mm-hmm. I mean, we want lead-free paint. We want fabrics on the floor. For instance, I guess carpeting has fumes that come out for months at a time after you put a new carpet down, and there are new liners for carpets that are certainly more fragrance-free in terms of those fumes than ever before. And this is found on a lot of websites as you know, look into the subject. And they say that cotton takes a lot of pesticides to produce in this country. And so people are being encouraged to use hemp instead of cotton in some of the fabrics that you're looking for on your walls or your floors or in your curtains. So to go back to the subject of carpets, I'd like to say that most parents don't think of how many hours a day their small children spend crawling around on the floor. And a child's immune system is much more sensitive than adults, for instance. And the children could be compromising their immune system for allergies later on in life or for chronic diseases that don't have really a diagnostic for where they started. So we have to be aware that more children today have asthma than ever before. And we know that the toxicity in the environment and the home does contribute to some of this.
And I think on that subject, we're seeing many more homes taking up carpet. Either there is existing hardwood under the carpet or they're putting in hardwood floors for this very reason.
And how can you look at hardwood floors economically these days, whereas before it was such an expensive thing to do? Aren't there some new ways that people can have the wood floor that they've always dreamed of?
Well, of course, there's pergo, which is...
What is that, by the way?
As I understand it, it's made a European floating floor that's actually made from scraps of wood that's been artfully put together, so it has the look of hardwood. It's controversial. Some people say, oh, pergo, yuck.
No.
But it has the look. It's a nice alternative to hardwood floors, which are expensive.
I think there are many more alternatives these days to hardwood or the look of hardwood. Before, people would just think of oak floors. Oh, that's way out of my price range. Mm-hmm. But these days, there's many, many alternatives.
Yes,
to either
bamboo.
Create the look. There's bamboo flooring, or there's real floors, fir, pine.
And also, some of these woods are more environmentally correct to use than some where the trees are in danger.
Yes,
and
such
so
as
on.
The redwood tree. Now, we're
right.
seeing, you know, redwood decks here used to be so popular,
mm-hmm.
but now, you know, they're becoming less popular.
Because is a synthetic product mm-hmm. is being used.
Well, what about linoleum, and what can be done with that to make it look and feel good on a floor? Because isn't it coming back into our consciousness now?
Well, in our article on our contractor's house, he used a product, I believe it's called Marvolium, which mm-hmm. is an organic product.
I read about that yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was very keen about that.
Because it doesn't have any of the chemicals that some
right.
of the older products
right,
had.
And exactly. And it looks great. And I believe it comes in a variety of colors.
I would imagine. And for instance, when we moved into this house, we had white linoleum put down in one of the bathrooms. And I thought, well, what could we do with that? Because we were painting the linoleum mm-hmm. on the floors in the kitchen to look like stone, which has lasted beautifully, and it's very aesthetic. But I saw in one of the home tours where you go see a design home, I saw something that sort of triggered my imagination, and we decided to put a fish pond on the floor in the bathroom with fish swimming, and it looks like you're going to step into a pond when you go into the bathroom. But it was a fun thing to do in a very small bathroom that didn't have a whole lot of character, and just painting the linoleum with latex paint did the trick, and of course, it's an environmentally friendly floor, too. So I want to close this segment by saying the basic principles of green design are low-impact materials, energy efficiency, quality and durability, design for reuse and recycling, biomimicry, service substitution, plus standardization and modularity. Now, some of these may be very new words to you. They were to me when I was thinking about this show and looking up things. So go to our website. You'll find them listed and you'll find them defined. And Mikhail Gorbachev, who founded Global Green, which is worldwide now, said, "We need a new environmental consciousness on a global basis. To do this, we need to educate people." And of course, education is at the bottom of all the things we talk about on this show. So don't miss the rest of our conversation about the real estate market, why staging your home can bring you more dollars, and what's happening today and what might happen in the future. Stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, and you're back with The Joan Kenley Show. We're focusing on your home, the art of buying, designing, and selling. And we're joined today by Judith Glass and Sheila Sabine, longtime business partners working as real estate brokers with the Grubb Company. Not only do Judith and Sheila assist their clients in buying and selling homes, they have distinguished themselves by making their brand of home staging a marketing specialty. While staging homes is a valuable service for sellers that can range from $250 to $5,000 or more, staging professionals usually give a broad spectrum of advice. Some help with the actual work involved, and others even move in new furniture, whether your home is a standalone, a condominium, or an estate. And residential design psychology can encompass your entire home selling strategy. Believe me, from the idea of the first view buyers have, which is called curb appeal, as we said before, to every nook and cranny inside. Home buyers often make their ultimate home selection based on their emotional reactions to the properties they visit. Don't we know that? The way a buyer interprets what they see, what they hear, touch, and even smell can cause them to feel connected to the home they choose. Buyers may think they make a choice based on economics, but even this decision is based on the way they really feel when they see a home they hope to have as their own. So here we are. We're going to talk about staging, remodeling, and what gives us a return on our money if we do remodel. So how would we like to start that conversation?
Well, I think probably your listeners might not be familiar even with the term staging.
Exactly.
So let's just, I like a sort of simple definition, my own definition, that staging is, it's using cost-effective and simple techniques to transform your home environment into a place that evokes inspiration and beauty.
Oh, I love that.
And you could use that when you're selling your house, but hey, what about using it when you're living in your house
full
time?
Very much. I really feel that many people who have told me they were selling their house with great regret about having not lived in the home they got ready for sale, changing, you know, the interior floors or walls or kitchens or adding a room or doing something that they think will bring in a greater return. But then we have to say, what kinds of room changes do make a better return on the dollar, and what might be a waste of money if you're thinking of upgrading the price of your house?
Well, that's always a good it's an excellent question. People call us sometimes way in advance, 6 months in advance of selling their homes. They have us come and we tell them, okay, don't bother with this. You'll never, it doesn't make any difference. Here's what you should do. And it, sometimes potential sellers are surprised. They think, oh, we have to remodel the bathroom. No, what you need to do is repaint the front of your house or
okay.
you know, whatever is
yes.
an example. But we also did, since you say you like stories, we once helped a single mom get her house staged for sale. She really did need to sell. She had a beautiful Julia Morgan home in Berkeley.
Mm.
And so we had her make some, not significant, but some changes that were significant just in the overall look of the house, painting rooms, changing the floor in the kitchen. Nothing structural, but when it was all done, the night before the open house, the flyers were made, the sign was ordered, the ads were in the paper, and she called to say, thank you, this is just how I've always wanted my home to look. I'm not selling it now.
Oh, my goodness.
So she sold it later, but not then.
But I think in terms of specific things, if you're going to stay in your house for a while and you want to know what would be smart in terms of investment,
sure.
I think that redoing your kitchen would always bring the return on the money as well as updating appliances, and also bathrooms. And as Judith mentioned, paint. If you're just selling your house in the next 30 days, then I think that you don't have to go through a huge, elaborate list, which is what most people think they have to do.
That is true. That is true.
There are some quick fixes that we have in our bag of tricks.
I'm going to ask you, because I've seen some of the houses you've had for sale in our neighborhood that have really been spruced up for sale, and it has been of great benefit to the sellers. But, for instance, what would you say is a waste of money on a grand scale? I mean, is it a waste of money to put in a pool, or is it a waste of money to put in a 3-car garage instead of a 2-car garage? I was just curious about
yes.
that.
Waste of
yes.
money.
Yes,
putting
to
in
both
a pool,
of those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what other things?
I would say taking out a pool would probably be, in our part of the world, pools are not such a selling point. But
I think that people tend to spend too much money, for example, on new carpet.
Okay.
Where they could get the same look at Home Depot or a cheaper kind of carpet as opposed to expensive Berber carpet.
Mm-hmm.
I think good appliances are worth spending money on.
Yes, we just are in the process of selling a home to some very sophisticated young buyers, and an older man has lived in the house for literally 50 years. So before he put his house on the market, he obviously bought new kitchen appliances. And he also bought a new kitchen sink, and we just had an inspector look at the house who said, you know, before we finish with this, you might have him bolt down the sink. Somebody had just come in, laid in a new sink, but they hadn't really attached it.
Oh, dear.
So you got to be a little bit careful as a seller. Get the work done and get it completed.
When you look at how somebody comes to, say, assess a house for refinancing, some of these changes that we're talking about are good for refinancing as well as for selling, aren't they? Or aren't
well,
they?
Well, yes and no. You know, a lot of the homes we deal with were built in the 20s, and so there's no copper piping, copper plumbing, for example. Should somebody completely replace the copper plumbing? No. Before selling a house, no.
Right.
I mean, that's for the next person to do.
But, for instance, we added a dining room, and that added a tremendous
sure.
amount of money
sure.
to our home when we decided to refinance.
Sure.
And so we had used a nice round dining table at the end of the family room for years, but we had a space to build out and have
perfect.
You know, a separate dining room. And so we knew that that was going to be a good, you know, addition, and it did increase the assessment of the house.
There's other ways of creating dining rooms. Well, first of all, in terms of staging a house, we have a listing right now that doesn't have a dining room.
Mm-hmm.
So we created a very formal dining room look into the adjacent section that is sort of the family room. So
mm-hmm.
it's set up with
next
beautiful linens,
kitchen.
And we recovered the chairs. This is a family that has 3 little children, so we recovered each chair with raw silk. You know, just ripped the old fabric off, stapled the new fabric on. It took us about 20 minutes.
Well, let's get into the staging, because I really love the particulars that you do when you stage a house. And I even remember that sometimes you hung Japanese robes on the wall and had fresh strawberries on the table. What are some of the other things?
Well, I like to think of our particular contribution to the real estate industry as the art of staging.
Good.
Not just ordinary staging.
What is ordinary staging?
Ordinary staging means that people are paying $5,000 to $10,000 to have someone come in with rented furniture that's, you know, whisked in and then whisked out to the next listing. The art of staging means that we go in and look at each room individually. We look at the personality of the house. We like to use beautiful things that the people already have, or that we can take their couch and then cover it with beautiful raw silk pillows, so that there's some sense of integrity and energy that actually belongs to that particular house. And I think buyers feel that when they walk into the house.
Well, also to make the house look lived in. I mean, I think it's probably very hard to sell a house that already has been cleared of all the furniture and all the artifacts. But for instance, I think a house that you staged in one bedroom had a beautiful nightgown draped across the bed, and it just made it feel so luxurious and so lived in, and the pictures on the bedside tables were so lovely, and it just felt like, oh, wouldn't we like to be in this bedroom kind of thing. And
Or even yesterday, it was pouring rain, and we had, you know, our first broker's open house. And so we had wonderful music playing, all the lights on, and a huge fire in the living room fireplace.
And cookies.
Which is, and fresh cookies
there
in the kitchen.
Go.
Now, those are such obvious touches, but we see that most agents don't bother to do those, just small things.
Right, or having hors d'oeuvres on the counter in the kitchen when people come through. And they say that, you know, cooking cinnamon, for instance, on the stove makes people think of their, you know, youth and
childhood.
Wonderful and all these kinds of wonderful things.
Or having the Scrabble game set up, which says, "This is a beautiful home," written out on the...
Oh, there you go.
Little tricks.
I mean, we could spend hours on the details of all your ideas.
Sometimes I write, you know, beautiful notes on a desk which talk about Aunt Tilly visiting the house, how much, oh, I had such a wonderful time here at Christmas, and all of the beautiful, the way the sun, you know, shines through the kitchen windows, and, you know, the shadows of the trees at sunset. So it becomes very tactile and sort of warm touch that buyers can read about.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Also, you and I both have taken courses from Ron Morgan, who does flower arranging, which has really opened up a whole new world for me. And the flower arrangements that you have in various homes are so stunning, but they aren't separate from the house. They work with the house. And I remember there was a plant at the doorstep of a house that I saw that you had staged artfully, and it was, oh, wow, I'd love to have that plant in my home, even though I was a looky-loo. I was looking to see just what homes were doing in the neighborhood. But I always am inspired to see what other touches you come up with as your career has progressed over the years that I have known you.
She's a genius, I must say.
Well, I think gold spray paint goes a long way. Really, you can take the ugliest chairs and spray them gold or a beautiful copper color and then cover them with just inexpensive fabric, or take an old couch again and just get beautiful, shiny polyester or look like raw silk and cover the whole couch, and there you have a new couch. So there's so many tricks that you can do.
Almost like getting a theater set ready,
yes,
for the curtain,
exactly,
to go up.
That's
why they call it staging.
And we call
it showtime.
Definitely showtime.
And we always try to figure out, do we have a hit on our hands or not?
Right.
Usually, yes.
Well, I'd like to ask this. When you look at the art of staging, Judith, what kind of value do you think you can put on a home sale price based on really coming in and doing the best that you know how to do? I mean, could it be $100,000 more?
Oh, sure.
Or more than that?
Sure, in our market, sure.
I certainly would have guessed that, because
it stimulates interest, it stimulates buyers, it stimulates more than one buyer.
Our track record is that our listings sell within 10 days, often way, way, way over the asking, even as much as $300,000 over the asking.
That is so nice to know. Well, what is your website that everybody needs to go to look you up and find you?
Thank you. www.glasssabine.com. So there's three S's in a row. My last name, Glass. Sheila's last name, Sabine, S-A-B-I-N-E.
I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that the Joan Kenley Show is co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. You can find out more information about this week's show on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where all of our shows are archived, downloadable, and podcastable 24/7. We're also podcast on iTunes.